Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio today is our guest host, Dr. Steve Pettit. Dr. Olala is away on a ministry venture, and those of you that pray for him regularly can find his itinerary on the Word for Life program website or on the Northern Baptist Bible College website as well. And I know he appreciates greatly the many of you that pray for him, as we all do. Steve, it's good to have you back today.
Thank you. Great to be back, Sam.
We are in the second program of a very practical little mini-series around the gospel. In fact, we had three broadcasts together where we talked about the nature of the gospel being God's grace. And we had really just a dynamic time looking at that out of Ephesians 2. And that led us to the question, how do you present this to people? And you spent the entire broadcast last time together giving us a very practical way for every single person listening to this broadcast to share the gospel. And that was through the form of their personal testimony, which is really a story about what God did for them.
Absolutely. You know, people are interested in people. Television shows make millions of dollars off of just somehow capturing that interest. People love people stories, and magazines and whole industries are built off of that. To be able to capture your life story and how God changed your life is one of the most powerful tools in presenting the gospel.
You said basically, and let me just kind of recap for our listeners, that anybody can give a personal testimony because everybody has a story.
Absolutely.
And the story had three parts. What we were.
What we were, what led up to our conversion, and what's happened since we've been saved.
And we talked a little bit about how in the giving of that story, we needed to weave in some important truths.
Yes.
And so what we want to do today is hear from you what those truths are and maybe some suggestions about how we can weave them in.
When I began to share the gospel as a young Christian, I found out very quickly that I didn't really have specific answers, and especially when the questions started coming.
I know, I've gotten those.
And you would, the typical answer is, I know it's in there somewhere, I just don't know where it is. I think the other factor is that the Bible is a big book. It's 66 books, two sections.
And it's pretty intimidating.
Very intimidating. And so I really need to be able to bring this message down to its essence, to its simplicity. And there are four primary essential truths that need to be in any gospel presentation for it to be an effective gospel message. And you can use various verses, you can go different directions, and I do use a variety that I'll share with you, but the four primary essential elements are this. Number one, that man is ruined by the fall. That is, that sin came into the world through one man, Adam, and death is passed on all men because all men are sinners.
Mm-hmm. So basically, the first thing I got to really lay out is we're all sinners.
We're all sinners, absolutely. And by the way, let me just say, in the ruin would be also the penalty of sin, which is God's judgment upon us for sin, which is hell. The second point is that I am redeemed by blood. That is, that there needs to be an atonement for my sins, a price that is paid. And Jesus Christ satisfied that payment price through his death on the cross. God demonstrated his love to us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Then number three, the third point, is that we need to be regenerated by the Holy Spirit. We need a new life.
Okay, now that word is a big word for me, regenerated.
Right.
What does that mean?
It means to live again or to come back to life, or to regenerate has the idea of something that was dead and now it's alive. And the idea is that because of man's sin, he is dead in sins. We talked about that in a previous broadcast. And that there needs to be a new life. We were born in sin. We need to be born again into a new life. Our natures at birth are sinful, away from God. We need to have a change within our heart, a change within our life. And this is very important because it's very easy to accept Bible truths and not experience Bible salvation. Because becoming a Christian is experiential. Okay. You have to have something happen in your life.
That's right. I got you.
So number three, you have to be regenerated by the Spirit. And then number four, the fourth element of the gospel, is that man is responsible to repent and to believe the good news. And so we are all held accountable for the way that we respond to this message. And so we have to turn from our sin, and we have to turn to Christ as the way of salvation. So in any gospel presentation, those things have to be.
So let me kind of go back over them with you. The first one is I've got to really present somehow or another the fact that I have a problem.
I'm a sinner.
And the problem is sin. I'm a sinner. And the really bad part of the problem is that that sin has to be punished.
Absolutely.
And then the second thing that has to be presented is that the punishment involved somebody dying, somebody shedding their blood.
Exactly. That it is through the blood sacrifice of Christ on the cross that my sins are atoned. And his resurrection needs to be brought out because the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ.
Okay.
And so in the resurrection, there is the conquest factor, the overcoming victory.
So I'm talking to my buddy. You know, we're on the break, and we're drinking coffee together before we head back to our office or before we head back to the job site. And we got into this conversation, and I'm trying to explain to him that we're all sinners. And honestly, most people, even though they may argue with you, most people are going to acknowledge that part of it.
Yes.
The part that's going to be hard is that God is going to, like, judge people for this, because God's not supposed to be judgmental. God's supposed to be loving, and that's kind of what we've all been taught. And a loving God would maybe, you know, God might send somebody like Hitler to hell, and he might send somebody like Mussolini or Stalin, but he's not going to send somebody like me to hell. And he's certainly not going to send my grandmother, who went to church every day, to hell.
Right, exactly.
So how do you deal with that second part there?
And that goes into a simple gospel presentation. Let me go back and give you a gospel presentation, one that I've used for many years.
That'd be great.
And it's one that'd be very familiar with many people, and that's what we call the Romans Road. We call it the Romans Road because it's found in the book of Romans. All the verses come out of Romans, so it's easier, simpler. And I would recommend that you learn this. The Romans Road begins with Romans chapter 3, verses 10 and verse 23, where it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And as you mentioned, we all recognize that we're a sinner. The second point is Romans chapter 6, verse 23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death." The fact is, you can use Romans 5:12, "For as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." I think the real issue in understanding the judgment of God is understanding sin. Because what is sin? Sin is the violation of the laws of God. Therefore, if laws have been broken, then there needs to come a penalty. Otherwise, what's the point of a law?
No matter how nice the person is.
No matter how nice the person is. And I remember very clearly when I was 17 years old how that verse, "The wages of sin is death," struck into my heart, because I realized I could not weasel my way out of this conviction of the fact that I had sinned and that I was facing the judgment. And the fact that I was going to die was the proof. Death is the proof of God's judgment upon sin.
Sure.
Then the third point is Romans 5, verse 8, that God commandeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
So that's where the love part comes in.
The greatest display of love is Calvary. That's the place where Christ was crucified for our sins.
So I wasn't wrong in thinking that God is love. Where my problem was thinking that God's love would set aside his responsibility to judge.
There was nothing wrong in your thinking. The problem was it was incomplete.
Right.
And so now you are gaining a fuller knowledge of God. What is God like?
And that helps me as a presenter when I'm telling the story. I'm just giving them the rest of the story.
Exactly. And then your fourth point is Romans chapter 10, verses 9, 10, and 13, where it is describing how a person is saved. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What we find in those verses is we find a wonderful promise and a human responsibility. The promise is that if we will confess our faith in Christ, believing on Him, we will be saved. And that is a definite promise. But the responsibility is to make the confession and to believe in the heart. And the moment that that is done, at that point, that is when a person is saved.
So let me kind of recap here. So I'm drinking my coffee with my buddy at break or wherever. We're on the way to the ball game or we're driving town in traffic and we're talking like you're saying. I'm sharing my testimony and I get to the end. You know, I've done the, I was a sinner and so are you and God justly condemned me and all of us are in this boat and then God's love provided a way of escape through the Son and His Son's death on the cross, His blood, and here's how you access it, you know, by confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart. Now what?
This is one of the most important aspects in sharing the gospel, and that is that you are not only to tell them the message, but you are to urge them to make a decision, to believe, because salvation is not just an intellectual assent and belief in Christ. It is actually a surrender of the will. Repentance is an action. So a repentance is making a decision to turn from your sin and to turn to Jesus Christ. So at that moment, I urge people to make the decision.
There so are, what do you do? Like, if you're driving downtown, you either make the decision or you walk home.
Well, I understand that. I'm not going to put them out in the cold, that's for sure.
What do you do?
Well, I'll tell you what, how I got saved. I was listening to a preacher over the radio. He had just finished preaching the gospel. It was Easter Sunday morning. And he urged people over the radio to pray to receive Jesus Christ. When the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the concept of calling is prayer,
sure.
Is praying. For whosoever shall pray on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the idea is that Jesus Christ ascended into heaven 40 days after His resurrection. He walked into the throne room of heaven, sat down at God's right hand, and He is ever living to pray for us. He lives eternally to pray for us. And if we will call on His name for salvation, He will call on the Father for our salvation, and God always hears the prayers of His Son and answers them. So I call on His name in prayer. So I would urge people right there to pray to receive Christ.
And one of the easiest and most natural ways to share our faith with somebody else is to tell them the story of what God did for us.
Your testimony.
For those of you listening, let me encourage you to write or call and request this series, Presenting the Gospel. And I know it'll be a great addition to your Christian life, and I trust that as you write, you'll let us know how we can be praying for you and how God is using this ministry in your life. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.